Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gotsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at a bunch of places, including Baseball Prospectus and the Hardball Times. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGots. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word, and I am on the Locker Room app as StaceGots. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. We have a good game to recap. It's about time. Yankees beat the Blue Jays last night in comeback fashion. I will have the recap of the game, highlights from the game, and more. And there's more sticky situations happening in Major League Baseball. Tyler Glasnow unloaded yesterday. You will hear that and you will hear my thoughts. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Last night's game had the opportunity to be one of those really annoying Yankee losses where they're behind, then they tie, then they're behind again, then they tie, then they get behind by three runs, they tie, and then lose in extra innings, which is where I thought this game was headed. Thankfully, that's not what happened, and I was pleasantly surprised. The Yankees needed that win last night badly. A whole bunch of stuff happened yesterday. Brian Cashman spoke to the media. He said some interesting things. There was one particular quote that he said about Aaron Boone, because the question that he was asked was whether or not Boone was the right manager for the team. And he basically said, you know, we're going to get through this. We made our bed. We're going to lie in it, which isn't a big, that's not good for Boone. That he said that. This was before the game. He spoke to the media before the game. Then the Yankees won. And I had mentioned this on yesterday's. No, was it yesterday's or the day before? Brian Cashman had to go to Atlanta in 09 after the Yankees lost 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. And at the time, they were 38 and 32. Yesterday, they were, what were they, 33 and 31? Or was that the Blue Jays who were 33 and 31? They were above 500. I think they were 33 and 32. Yes, they were above, one game above by 500. So, you know, the 09 team was better. But Brian Cashman flew to Atlanta, met them there for that series, and basically told them, you know, you're a good team, so prove it with your play. And then, as you all know, the 09 team went on a crazy roll, won the division, won everything else, won the World Series. I'm not saying this team is going to do the same thing. But what I am saying is, even though they've played over 60 games, you know, we're well into the season, I still feel like this team can do better. I feel like there's a way for them to be consistent. I hope. We all better hope, or else this is going to be a long and painful season. So last night's game, as I said, it was back and forth until it wasn't back and forth. Toronto scored first in the bottom of the first, thanks to a sac fly. Then Gary Sanchez got the Yankees on the board with a solo home run. Then Toronto scored again in the bottom of the third. The Yankees came back up in the top of the fourth. Chris Gittens got his first major league hit, which was a home run, which is always nice, and tied the score. And then the bottom of the fourth, Jordan Montgomery gives up 3 runs. So he gave up 5 overall. not a good showing from him. And at that point, you're thinking, ugh, just keep them at 5-2. Hopefully you can get to the Toronto bullpen because they're not that good. And that's what happened. You know, I told the Yankee pitchers to not give anything to pitch to Vlad Guerrero, but the same stands for Bo Bichette. Please stop giving up home runs to him. Thank you. That's how Toronto scored in the bottom of the third. I forgot to mention that. So the bottom of the fourth, passed ball by Sanchez, Joe Panik scored. Then Bo Bichette hit a single that scored Santiago Espinal and Marcus Semien. That made it 5-2 at that point. Miguel Andujar hit a ground out in the top of the sixth that scored Gio Urshela. In the top of the seventh, Brett Gardner hit a home run to make it 5-4. Anthony Castro, thank you for throwing a wild pitch and allowing DJ LeMahieu to score to make it 5-5. In the top of the eighth, Clint Frazier, my boy with his legendary bat speed, hits a 97-mile-an-hour pitch right down the third baseline for a double. Tyler Wade scores, makes it 6-5. The Yankees were able to hold on to 6-5, but holy hell, Zach Britton, can we not have a bottom of the eighth like that again? Don't do that to me. My God. He walked Marcus Semien to load the bases. Then Bo Bichette is up, and you're thinking, oh, no, because Bo Bichette is also a Yankee killer. It's not just Randall Grichuk, it's Bo Bichette. He gets Bo Bichette to line out to Aaron Judge to end the inning. No harm, no foul, except for everyone's blood pressure. Then Aroldis Chapman has an uneventful ninth inning, thankfully, and he gets the other Yankee killer, who I just mentioned, Randall Grichuk, to ground out to end the game. The Yankees hold on 6-5. Everyone's happy. Well, not the Blue Jays, but everyone else is happy. Lots of Yankee fans in Buffalo last night for the game, which is nice. Not nice for Blue Jays fans, but Blue Jays fans can't get to Buffalo because the border is closed, so they can't even see their team play. Hopefully soon things will get better in Canada, like things are getting better here and everything will be back to normal. The Blue Jays will be back in Toronto. Their fans will be able to see them. So yeah, last night was a big win for the Yankees. They really needed that and they need to keep the momentum going. And what better way to try and keep the momentum going than to have Gerrit Cole on the mound? We will preview that matchup later on in the show. But first, I've been talking a lot about sports trade lately. And if you haven't heard about it, it's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Making money with sports trade is simple. Player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their performance in each game compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the player's value goes. Two, good old supply and demand. The more shares that are purchased in a player, the higher their value goes. You can instantly buy and sell as many shares in as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports, and I think you'll really be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action at sportstrade.com. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFORNT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. There was a big hullabaloo yesterday, a kerfuffle, a brouhaha. No, I'm kidding. Tyler Glasnow spoke out yesterday and essentially blamed Major League Baseball for the fact that he tore his UCL. It's partially torn, but that's not great. That's what happened to Masahiro Tanaka in his first season. Glass now blames MLB for suddenly changing course and, you know, 65 games into a season saying, hey, you can't use this stuff on your balls. Oh, I can't believe I just said that. You know what I mean. Anyway, he said that he would mix sunscreen and rosin to help him grip the ball better. And he thinks that because he couldn't use the sunscreen in his last two starts, that's why he injured himself. He was talking about the differences in the balls, and I brought this up. You know, MLB has been screwing with the baseball the last few seasons. I think that's a bigger problem than the foreign substance problem. And you know what? If the guys want to use sunscreen, what's the big deal? If they're not using spider tack, who cares? And have you guys seen what spider tack looks like? Why would anyone use that on anything? I would be afraid that I would accidentally rip out a whole chunk of my hair with that stuff. So anyway, this is everything that Tyler Glasnow had to say.
But I 100% believe that contributed to me getting hurt. No doubt, without a doubt. I think like it's ridiculous. I have used sticky stuff before. It's ridiculous that like it seems like this whole public perception of like, oh, it's just like select few people. Like your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something too. Like if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like you have to use something. So in the past, my like substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty. But two starts ago against the Nationals, I went cold turkey, nothing. And before that start, I remember when all this stuff came out, I was talking to people and talking to doctors, and they were like, the thing that maybe MLB doesn't realize or that players don't realize is like, what is the injury? Like, what is the prevention of like, maybe it'll add to injuries. And in my mind, I was like, that sounds dumb. That sounds like an excuse a player would use to make sure he can use sticky stuff. But I threw to the Nationals with nothing. I don't use sticky stuff I don't use spider tack. I don't need more spin. I have huge hands. I spin the ball fine. I want grip. I did well against the Nationals, probably one of the best starts I had all year. I woke up the next day and was like, I am sore in places that I didn't even know I had muscles in. Like I felt completely different. I switched my fastball grip and my curveball grip. I've thrown it the same way for however many years I've played baseball. I had to put my fastball deeper into my hand and grip it way harder. And I had to, instead of holding my curveball at the tip of my fingers, I had to dig it deeper into my hand. So I'm like choking the shit out of all my pitches. My cue I used to use with Snyder was hold the ball like an egg, like nice and loose, be loose. That's out of the window. So I now have to develop a new cue. I have to develop something where I can't hold the ball light anymore. I have to dig it deep into my hand. So I'm taking it, and you have to think, I'm not a doctor. I know you guys probably know that. But I'm taking a fastball. I'm squeezing the ball twice as hard. So all of this is, I'm recruiting all these muscles, and I'm taking my arm as hard as I can throw the ball. So I'm going from like a flexed muscle to letting a ball go. And like I said, I was like, maybe it's not going to, I don't think it'll lead to any injuries. But waking up after that start, I was like, okay, this sucks. Something is weird here. And then that same feeling is persisting all week long. And then I go into my start yesterday, and that same feeling just, it pops or whatever the hell happened to my elbow. Like I feel it, something happens. And I'm sitting out there just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And the whole day yesterday, I'm sitting there trying to get a grip on a ball. And I'm not trying to blame anyone. I'm not trying to say like, oh, this is all MLB's fault. Like they got thrown into the situation too. They're doing the best they possibly can to navigate around this. They're trying to make this fair for people. I understand that. But you can't, whether you want us to not use sticky stuff or not is fine. Fine. Do it in the off season. Give us a chance to adjust to it. But I just threw 80 something, 70 whatever innings. And then you just told me I can't use anything in the middle of the year. I had to change everything I've been doing the entire season, everything out of the window. I have to start doing something completely new. And then I'm telling you, I truly believe that's why I got hurt. Me throwing 100 and being 6'7" is why I got hurt, but that contributed. And so I'm just frustrated that like they don't understand how hard it is to pitch one, but to tell us to do something completely different in the middle of a season is insane. I just don't, it's ridiculous. There has to be some give and take here. You can't just take away everything and not add something. Pitchers need to be able to have some sort of control or some sort of grip on the ball. And I just don't want things like this to happen to somebody else. I don't want a fastball to sail away and hit somebody in the face like it already has. So I just think like, I understand you need to take an aggressive approach here, but like, I just think people are going about it all wrong. And I'm sitting here, my lifelong dream, I want to go out and win a Cy Young. I want to be an all-star. And then now it's all just shit on because now it's over and now I have to try and rehab to come back in the playoffs. So I'm clearly frustrated. It's just, I think there needs to be a lot more people need to figure this out. You can't just tell Steve's nothing. It's crazy.
Okay. First of all, I didn't realize he cursed a couple times there, but, you know, he's angry and I'm not going to bleep them out. You're all adults. I don't usually curse on this show. And well, most of you are adults. If you're listening with children, I apologize. Anyway, so lots to unpack there. So he doesn't totally blame MLB. He just doesn't like the way they're handling it right now, because as he said, everyone's trying to navigate through this thing. But my point that I've been making since this all came out is that MLB knew about this stuff. This isn't a shocking development. And then for them to suddenly say, oh, yeah, okay, no, we're going to totally change course. You can't use anything, just rosin. It's ridiculous. And that's what Glasnow was saying. We're going to see. I'm kind of afraid, because if some of these guys can't use what they've been using the last few years, not only are guys going to turn into pumpkins overnight, but guys are going to get injured like Glasnow. And that's not going to be fun for anyone. I also can't believe I'm agreeing with a Rays player, but, you know, the Rays always like trading their best players away. Not that they would ever trade him to the Yankees, but maybe they would let him go. And then when he becomes a free agent, the Yankees could get him. But then again, if you can't pitch with sticky stuff and you hurt your arm like that, I mean, he has a partial UCL tear and they're going to try and rehab him that way and not do Tommy John. But that's dangerous and not fun, because as you all know, we had to watch Masahiro Tanaka pitch with a partially torn UCL for 7 years. And every time he pitched, I was afraid his arm was going to blow up. So there's a lot of stuff happening in MLB regarding this foreign substance rule. I read all the rules yesterday. You all know what's going to happen. The umpires are going to be judge and jury. And if they think someone's doing something and they have enough evidence to believe that they're doing something, they can just throw them right out. MLB will suspend them. Whew, this is going to be something. In a moment, we'll preview tonight's matchup between Gerrit Cole and Ross Stripling, and I have some thoughts about Aroldis Chapman and Gary Sanchez. But first, Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar ever. Comes in 9 amazing flavors, plus the occasional limited-time flavor. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, like myself, we're definitely passionate about our favorites. And I've told you this so many times that you probably hate hearing me say it, but mint brownie. Mint brownie. Anyway, the other flavors, coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. They're all good. There's something for everyone. If you haven't tried Built Bar yet, I suggest you get the mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors and you try them out, see what you like best, and then just order whatever you want. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and they're amazing. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your first order. It's time for me to order more mint brownie. I am missing it immensely. Again, use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams make their runs through the playoffs. The Nets had a big win last night, the Islanders are still in it, and if you're interested in other NBA teams, there is a lot of stuff happening with injuries to star players, illnesses befalling star players. So head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So as I teased, I wanted to talk about Aroldis Chapman because I saw a tweet last night that mentioned how he hadn't been using his splitter and that he used it again last night and it seemed to actually help him. So I don't know what was going on with him. Maybe he felt like he couldn't throw it, but he looked a lot better last night. As for Gary Sanchez, Gary is heating up and it's about damn time.
Gary!
In his last 15 games, he's 16 for 47. That works out to a 340 average. He has 3 doubles, 4 home runs, 16 strikeouts, 5 walks. His OPS is 1.063. So, that's good. The Yankees need a hot Gary Sanchez in their lineup. They're much better with a hot Gary Sanchez in their lineup. And of course, tonight, because Gerrit Cole is pitching, Gary Sanchez won't be in the lineup. But let's talk about that matchup between Cole and Ross Stripling. Stripling gave up 4 runs over 5 2/3 innings on Friday against the Red Sox. And apparently he's been in the middle of an impressive turnaround after he struggled earlier in the season. That's according to MLB.com. His numbers right now is 2-3 with a 4.91 ERA and 49 strikeouts on the season. So, as I always say, the Yankees don't seem to do well when a guy has a bloated ERA. And then last night, they did okay against Ryu. So, you never know what's going to happen. As for Cole, he's right in the middle of this sticky stuff controversy. And he did pretty well against Minnesota on June 9th. Struck out 9, walked 2, pitched 6 innings. This will be the third time that he's facing Toronto this season. Overall, he's 7-3 with a 2.31 ERA and 113 strikeouts. That's pretty damn good. As I said yesterday, the Blue Jays have faced him, you know, enough times. We're in the 10 to 15 range for most of them. Marcus Semien has faced him 21 times because of Cole being on the Astros and Semien formerly being on the A's. He's faced him 21 times. He's batting .095, but he does have a home run and 2 runs batted in. And Kevin Biggio has a home run off Cole. And as you all know, Teoscar Hernandez has a home run off Cole. He hit it earlier in the season at Yankee Stadium. In 7 at-bats, he's batting .429 off Cole. So he seems to have Cole's number. So does Vlad Jr. Vlad Jr. in 10 at-bats is batting .400. No home runs yet. We'll see if that changes tonight. As for the Yankees against Stripling, DJ LeMahieu is the one who's faced him the most. 19 at-bats, 1 run batted in. He's batting .368. As I mentioned on yesterday's show, I will be doing a crossover episode with Jason Burke of Locked On A's because the A's are coming to town beginning Friday. And speaking of Friday, it's reopening day at Yankee Stadium because full capacity is back. That's right. New York is opened up again because we reached the 70% vaccinated threshold. Everything is open. It's almost like we're back to normal. So if you want to go to Yankee Stadium and experience a game full of fans, you can. I'm so excited about this. I don't know how soon it'll be before I get to Yankee Stadium, but I might cry when I walk in because it's been way too long since I've been there. One last thing before I go. Davey Garcia is not doing well in, where is he, AAA? Yes, AAA. He pitched 1/3 of an inning last night, gave up 5 earned runs, walked 4, gave up 2 hits, only struck out 1, and he has an 8.10 ERA in AAA. So, yeah, not good. Oh, and Luis Severino has a grade 2 strain of his groin, and so now we're looking at late July, early August for him to come back. Not shocking. I knew there would be a setback. I should have bet money on it, but I didn't. So to recap, the Yankees win a big game against the Blue Jays in Buffalo. Tyler Glasnow is pissed and thinks that the foreign substance ban is to blame for his injury. Gerrit Cole goes up against Ross Stripling tonight in Buffalo. We'll see if the Yankees can carry the momentum from last night into tonight. Davey Garcia not doing well in AAA. Luis Severino, yet another setback. And for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Wednesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.